Part 16, Chapter 3. It was a long way to the heliport, and especially long when you had only one working leg and a cane on the wrong side. The elevators weren't working, and probably never would again. Hobbling along, Johnny had just begun to appreciate what a great job had been done cleaning up this place when he heard running feet behind him and a sharply barked order in Russian. Two men appeared, one on either side of him, who gripped each other's arms in a chairlift, boosted him into it, and were running with him down the stairs to the heliport. Somebody must have alerted the standby pilot there, for he was standing beside a mine passenger plane with the passenger door open.
"No!"
yelled Johnny and pointed with his good arm at the pilot side. What did they think he was? A busted-up invalid? Of course he was just that. But Colonel Ivan popped up at the pilot door and opened it. The two Russians literally threw Johnny into the pilot seat. A little confused, the standby pilot started to close the passenger door, but was brushed aside by three Russians who, out of breath, had come tearing down the stairs. They leaped into the plane with a clatter of assault rifles. Colonel Ivan was magically on the other side of the plane, helping Robert the Fox and two kilted Scots into the ship, and then got in himself. The pilot was a Swede. He was getting into the co-pilot seat and saying something in a language Johnny could not understand. Maybe a South African from the mountains of the moon? No, the pocket of whites there among the Bantu had been contacted too late for anyone to be fully trained yet. Then he realized the pilot was only there for local runs, really a cadet. Johnny wrapped himself up in the seatbelt, pinning down his relatively useless right arm, and looked around at his passengers. The Russians were in baggy red pants and gray tunics and were finishing getting into their gear. As he turned, Colonel Ivan ripped the bandana off his head and clapped a round, flat, fur cap on him. Johnny took it off to get it on straight and saw it had a red star set in a gold disc on the front of it.
We charge,
said Colonel Ivan. Evidently, he had worked very hard at his English. Johnny grinned. They sure were an international contingent. The wide doors had been left open and sunlight streamed in. He sailed the plane out into a beautiful summer day. Ah, the mountains. The white mountains, majestic and calm against the dark blue sky. The ravines with their black shadows. The trees with their soft, dark green. And there was a bear, cantering along a slope, bound on some important errand, no doubt. And a whole herd of bighorn sheep, looking up at what must now be the ordinary sight of a plane on this route. With his left hand romping on the console, Johnny dropped the ship over the last hills of the eastern slope and down toward the plains. Summer. And evidence of a recent rain, for there were flowers. Stretching out to an endless horizon in the east, an undulating landscape spotted with browsing herds, seemingly inexhaustible space in which men could live.